Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stay with us here this afternoon. And I hope you had a chance to listen to Pastor Lutz in the last half hour with his message. Good message there. And then, of course, Pastor Rusnak will be joining us at 2 o'clock. And so, stay for that as well. But in the meanwhile, I hope you'll listen and I hope it will be a blessing to you. I want to look at something that's in the news today, and that is Palestine. And Palestine is a name, a term that's being thrown around, and it's important to understand what this word is, what it means, and who are the Palestinians, and is it an ethnic group? Is it a place name? Just what is it, and where do these people come from? So we're going to talk about a few things here today, and I want to look at this idea of Palestinians. And it's important because if you're watching what's going on over in Israel and their war against Hamas there in the Gaza Strip, and you're seeing protesters. In fact, just the other day, the United States Capitol building was taken over by a bunch of people crying, "Free Palestine." And this is interesting, you know, other than the fact that that when January 6th, we remember the January 6th insurrection, you know, they were talking about protesters in the Capitol building. Nobody seems to want to cry insurrection, at least nobody on the left. None of the Democrats want to cry insurrection when the Free Palestine crowd took over in the rotunda of the Capitol building. But there's demonstrations springing up all over the place. They're in New York City, they're in Paris, they're in London, they're all over the world crying, "Free Palestine." And there was a recent incident that just also, I think, just a day or two ago, a high school in San Francisco, the students in the school actually marched down through the halls. Now, I don't know how they got permission to do this. I know that when I was in school, I would have never, you know, nobody would have ever gotten away with this. And they went marching through the halls crying, "Free Palestine, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free." Now, keep in mind, these are high school students, and I'm going to play just a short clip. It's less than 10 seconds, but this is just a portion. This went on. The clip that I took it from was almost 30 seconds in length, and that wasn't even the whole thing. But we're going to listen. And listen to these students. These are high school students in San Francisco shouting to Free Palestine. So here goes. Now, when you heard that, "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free." Let's break that down for a second. The river, that's the Jordan River, okay? The Jordan River is the river in that chant. From the river, that's the Jordan River, to the sea, that's the Mediterranean Sea, okay? Now, if you look on a map, that covers all of Israel. And they're saying Palestine will be free. Now, why Palestine will be free? Well, it's because that they're saying that Israel's an occupier, that Israel's a colonizer. And here's something else you hear. The Zionist regime stole land from the Palestinians. And this goes back for a while. In fact, Hamas, they've got their original covenant in 1988, the original Hamas covenant, said in it that Israel will exist and will continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it, just as it obliterated others before it. And so they cleaned up their charter, and they published a new document in 2017, which they kind of toned down the rhetoric against the destroying Israel. And they made this statement here where they said, "Palestine is the land of the Arab Palestinian people From it they originate, to it they adhere and belong, and about it they reach out and communicate. Now, I want to look at this a little bit today because I feel very strongly about what's going on in Israel. There's several things happening here in addition to the propaganda that's being put out by Hamas and the supporters of Hamas, the Iranians, the Russians, and people on the left in this country and parts of Europe. And unfortunately, some Christians are believing this rhetoric. There are some Christians who believe that Israel is the bad guys, that the somehow Israel is an illegitimate country, an illegitimate government, and I've even heard people say that Christians say that they despise Israel, and this is a problem because as Christians we ought to be some of the greatest supporters of Israel in the world today because God promised to bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. So let's take a look at some of these things in the scriptures as to who Palestine is. And first and foremost, let me encourage you to get a King James Bible. If you don't have a King James Bible, you may not be able to see this. I didn't do a search of other Bible versions, but if you've got a King James Bible, and one of the reasons that I use the King James Bible, that Pastor Lutz uses the King James Bible, that Pastor Rusnacko uses the King James Bible, is because it is the Word of God preserved in the English language, and it provides you what God wants you to know, whereas the modern versions, they eliminate some of these things. Now, as I said, I did an exhaustive search to see what other versions say on this, but the word Palestine is a biblical word. That's what we need to know first and foremost. It is a biblical word. And if you have a King James Bible, you have an advantage over people who don't. And this is why. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 14, the Bible says, the King James Bible says, the people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestinia. Now, Palestinia, that's Palestine. And here's another one. And this one will be in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 29. Rejoice not thou, whole Palestinia, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken, for out of the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent. So there's the word Palestinia again. And then in further down in chapter 14, Isaiah 14 and verse 31, howl, O gate, cry, O city, thou whole Palestinia, art dissolved, for there shall come from the north a smoke, and none shall be alone in his appointed times. And you say, well, that's Palestinia. Well, that's you're kind of splitting hairs there if you want to say that doesn't count. But if you don't like that version of it, how about in the book of Joel? In Joel chapter 3 and verse number 4, where it says, yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coasts of Palestine? So if you don't like Palestinia, you say that's not the same as Palestine. Palestine's not in the Bible. Well, what about Joel 3, 4, where it says, in the coasts, all the coasts of Palestine? It's right there, directly. Now, this word that we have here, Palestine or Palestinia, this is a word that's translated elsewhere in the scripture. It's a Hebrew word, plesheth, and it's translated a variety of times in the scriptures. The first time that we see this word is in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 14, where it says that people shall hear and be afraid, sorrow shall take hold in the inhabitants of Palestinia. And then it says this in Psalm 60 and verse 8, Moab is my washpot, over Edom will I cast out my shoe, Philistia, triumph thou because of me. That's the same word. It's the exact same word. And so what we see is this word translated as Palestinian or Palestine is also translated as Philistia, or it's also referred to in variations on it, the various forms of it, for Palestine, Philistia, the Philistines, Palestinia. It's the same word. And so it is a biblical word. And it comes from the Hebrew, which is in the Old Testament. It actually occurs 8 times in the Old Testament. And 4 times it's translated as Philistia. And then it's also translated from the word Pelesti as well. And that is translated as Philistim and Philistine. And that occurs 243 times. So essentially, the Pelesti or the Philistines were a people who inhabited the land of Pelesheth or Philistia, or should I say Palestine, in the Old Testament days. Philistia, or the land of the Philistines, occupied an area on the Mediterranean coast between Israel and Egypt, roughly in the same region as the modern-day Gaza Strip. And we'll say, well, okay, they're the Palestinians, and that's their land. We read about it in the scripture. Remember, David battled Goliath, the Philistine. And so if that's their land, what's the problem? They say the Palestinians should have their land. Well, here's a couple things. First off, it does not include from the river to the sea. And the biblical Palestine or Philistia was where the Gaza Strip is, a much smaller area than the area from the river to the sea. And the other thing is that the Philistines are not in any way related to the people who are chanting from the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free. These Philistines in the Old Testament were an ancient Hamitic people, and you can find their origins in Genesis chapter 10 in the Table of Nations, where it says here in verse 6, and the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, and Phut, and Canaan. And then dropping down to verse 13, and Mizraim begat Ludim, and Anamim, and Lehabim, and Nephtuim, and Pathrusim, and Casluhim, out of whom came Philistim, and Kaphtorim. Did you get that? Out of whom came Philistim? That's the Philistines. Now, the people who are chanting from the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free, that are claiming this, and Hamas and all, these are Arabs. Arabs are a different people entirely. Arabs are the descendants of Abraham, like the Jewish people are. Remember, Abraham had a son, Ishmael, through Hagar, his wife Sarah's maidservant. Sarah did not have a child, and Abraham and Sarah began to doubt God for the promised child, and Sarah came up with a plan, which in the day was considered acceptable, and she gave her maidservant Hagar to Abraham to father a child, and that would be as if it was her child, and that was Ishmael, the firstborn. And then, of course, Ishmael was born to Hagar, the Egyptian, by the way. And later, the son of promise, Isaac, was born. And so when Isaac came into the world, of course, God said that Isaac was the son of promise, not Ishmael. And I don't have time to get into that. Maybe on Sunday night I'll go through that again. I've gone through it before, why the inheritance legally, as well as by what God says, but also legally by the customs of the day, goes to Isaac and not Ishmael. And then Ishmael had 2 sons, Esau and Jacob. They were fraternal twins. Esau was born first, and normally would have received the birthright, but Jacob was the son of promise. And Jacob, conspiring with his mother, tricked his father into getting the patriarchal blessing. Now, they should not have done that. It would have gone, God would have seen to it that it went to them in the first place. But again, for the purpose of our conversation today, I don't have time to get into all the details there, but the promise went to Jacob, not Esau. Now, let's backtrack up to Abraham again. After Sarah died, Abraham took another wife, Keturah, and had sons and daughters. So there's a lot of people in the Middle East that are the descendants of Abraham, either through Ishmael or through his grandson Esau as well. And so when we look at them, these are people who are in a Semitic people because they're descended from Shem, because they're descended from Abraham, and they're not descended from Ham. They're not the Philistia or the Philistines or the Palestinians of the Old Testament. So this idea that they've lived there, and as Hamas says, this is their homeland, and they originate from there, and they're the original Palestinians, that is simply not true. The Philistines were associated with the descendants of Kaphtorim in their history, and they then are referred to as the Sea Peoples, like Kaphtor, and they're thought to have came from the Isle of Crete. Kaphtor is generally thought to be the island of Crete, and that was known as Cappadocia, and Cappadocia is the Greek equivalent of Kaphtor. And so the Philistines moved into Egypt for a while in about the 13th century BC, and then they migrated from, they migrated from Crete to Egypt, and then directly or indirectly up into the coastal region between Canaan and Egypt, which eventually became known as Philistia or Palestine. And upon their arrival, they drove out the previous inhabitants, the Avim. You can see that in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 23 talks about that. And by the time that Abraham arrived, the Philistines were firmly ensconced in the land. And so you can read about the interactions between Israel and the Philistines as well throughout the Bible, the Old Testament there. But this was only a small area of the land that God had given to Abraham and his descendants. And the greater part of the land between the river and the sea, the land was known as the land of Canaan, not the land of Palestine. And the Canaanites, like the Philistines, were also descendants of Ham, and they're listed in the Table of Nations in Genesis chapter 10 as Ham's descendants. The Canaanites eventually ceased to exist as a people, as did the Philistines. Well, let's get back to some of the history of the land there. The Jews left the land of Egypt during Joseph's time, later returned under Moses, and who led them back to the promised land. And then, of course, Joshua led them into the land. And then they had back and forth battles and things with the Philistines. That's where we come in with the story of David slaying Goliath, the Philistine's champion, with his sling. In about 586 BC, when the southern kingdom of Judah, because remember the United Kingdom later split into the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah, when the Jewish kingdom of Judah was conquered by the Babylonians, it's around about that time that the Philistines ceased to exist as a people group. Now keep in mind, this is like 586 BC. And the Babylonians captured Jerusalem, carried most of the Jews off into captivity, and there's a remnant that stayed in the land there. And with the demise of the Philistines, the names of Philistia, Palestinia, Palestine fell into disuse. And so you do not see those words in the New Testament. You don't hear about them because the Palestinians or the Philistines, the ethnic Palestinians, the ethnic Philistines were gone as a people group by that time. So later on, though, you see in about the year 6 BC, the Romans annexed part of that land there, and it became a province of what came to be known as Syria Palestine, or Palestinia, or Syria Philistia. And but most often the land was referred to as Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. Well, under Roman rule, and this brings us up into the first century, the Romans, led by Vespasian, invaded from Syria in about 67 AD. Vespasian's son Titus captured Jerusalem, and they destroyed the temple in 70 AD. And they celebrated the event by striking a coin in Rome with the phrase "Judah Capta," meaning Judea has been captured. Well, needless to say, the Jews did not leave the land. There's always been a Jewish presence there for thousands of years, over 3,000, nearly 4,000 years, there's been a steady Jewish presence in the land. And we see that despite the destruction of Jerusalem, the Jewish resistance to the Romans continued. In about 135 AD, we had the revolt of Bar Kokhba, and Hadrian moved to eliminate the Jewish state completely. remotely. They forcibly exiled most of the Jewish population, and Jerusalem was renamed Aleia Capitolina after a temple, and a temple to Jupiter was built on the ruins of the Jewish temple. The names Judea, Samaria, and Galilee were abolished, and Hadrian renamed the land Palestine or Philistia after the Jews' ancient enemies, the Philistines. This is where the word Palestine now begins to be used again. It wasn't till about the year 300 AD when the early church historian Eusebius referred to himself as one of the bishops of Palestine. And then the name since became fixed in Christian literature, and maps of Palestine began to appear in Bible dictionaries and encyclopedias in the back of Bibles, and you can even find some of those today. Over the next few centuries, the number of Jews gradually increased in the land, but it was still called Palestine. And Palestine was joined with southern Transjordan, which is the present-day country of Jordan, in the 5th century, and the whole area was divided into Palestinia Prima, Palestinia Secunda, and Palestinia Tertia, 1, 2, and 3. And Palestinia Prima, along with part of the Palestinian Tertia, became known as Jude Philistine, Jewish Palestine, after the Muslim conquest of the land in the 7th century. Palestinia Secunda became Jude Urdan at about the same time, and Jews lived there all this time. And there were also Persian, Arab immigrants, and European immigrants, and others that were there. The Ottoman Empire held sway over the land from 1517 until 1917. And during that time, Turkish absentee landlords, overwhelmed their Arab tenant farmers with increasingly onerous user fees and taxation, and by the mid-19th century, many of the Arab farmers had fled and the land became more and more desolate. There's a wave of Jewish immigration into the land during that time, and they were buying up the land, often at grossly inflated prices, and the Jewish population in Jerusalem alone went from about 5,000 Jews in 1839 to nearly 10,000 by the late 1850s. And despite a law banning Jews from immigrating to and buying land in 1887, a second wave began in 1904. And by 1914, there were about 40 Jewish settlements in the land out of a population of approximately 722,000. About 60,000 were Jews. So they were in the land. But you know what? They were all called Palestinians at that time because it was still called Palestine. And so as a result, this name Palestine continued to be used. Now, I don't have time to go through a lot of the more details here, but this name Palestine was used up until 1948, really, when they declared themselves the State of Israel. And let me jump ahead here a little bit. In UN, several wars and conflicts and everything, the Arab world still refers to the land as Philistine or Philistia or Palestine, and they now call the Jews invaders and trespassers who stole their land, and they've got this manufactured mythology that the people in Gaza Strip and the Arabs that are in Israel are the Palestinians, and this is their ancient homeland, and they are the ancient Palestinians. Well, they're not. Read your King James Bible. The ancient dwellers of the Gaza Strip were the Philistines, and God gave that land to Israel. In fact, he gave the whole land of Canaan to Israel. Well, we would talk more about this, but we're out of time right now. Maybe next week we'll pick up some more. Probably on Sunday night I'll be talking about this some more. But if you want to know more, join us at our Friday night Bible study tonight. We'll be talking about Palestine and where that name comes from there as well. And I do want to encourage you not to be overwhelmed when you see what's happening in that part of the world. Some of this is spelled out in the scripture. We'll be talking about this some more with Psalm 83. But in the meanwhile, don't be overwhelmed. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. I hope you know Christ as your Savior. Trust God today. God bless.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.